Blog Talk Radio.
This is truly a day that God has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It's Wednesday night again, where the saints of God come together to explore the Word of God. I'm your host, Diane Adams. And all of you that are tuned in, I say welcome. Today is a day that God has made. We got to learn to rejoice, and we have to be glad in it, because what it is, it is what it is. God is in control, and nothing going on in your life that God doesn't know about. He's right in the middle of everything, and he knows what's going on. First of all, I would like to thank each and every one of you who calls on Wednesday night as we explore the Word of God together. And I have to be thankful unto God for allowing me to be on this program for over 3 years now. You know, it's a blessing. You know, it's amazing, and it's more, even more amazing to me because, you know, truly I didn't go looking for this. God came looking for me. You see, God set things up where no man can boast, you know, if you want to let the truth be told. But I thank you, God. I thank you, Jesus, and I thank you, Holy Ghost. Our program tonight is coming from the book of James, the 3rd chapter. And the title of the lesson is, The Words That You Speak Can Make You or Break You. The words that you speak can make you or break you. What we're talking about tonight is the power of the tongue. As always, before we get our program started, and not just when we start a program, but you should be mindful that God say in all things through prayer and supplication, make your request known. He didn't say in some things. If we learn how to put God first in our lives and go to God first, I guarantee you your way would be made easier. Don't wait till you get through doing all you think you can do. And when everything has crumbled in pieces, when you have no other way to turn, you turn to God. But tonight I'm asking you that if you would just bring it to God first in prayer. The scriptures say in all things, not some things, with prayer and supplication, which means thanksgiving. God will truly work it out. So it's time to go to the throne of grace and prayer. And if anyone would like to pray tonight, we know what we can do. Press the 1 button, and I'll open your mic, and you could pray. But if no one would like to pray, I have my little prayer warrior with me tonight, Madison, and he's ready to go to the throne of grace of God. Be prayerful as he comes. Once Madison get through praying, I'm going to play a song. After the song, we're going to go straight into the lesson. Be blessed.
Good evening, everybody. Let's open with prayer. God, thank you for this Wednesday that we are still on this program after all these years and that a lot of people tuned in and know about this program and telling other people about this program tonight. And just thank you for allowing the people that have the time, because you use your time all the time to be with us and help us and watch over us, God. And please let the program go by smoothly while anything interfering with the thing that you want us to do. And please let us progress in what you want us to do with the lesson that all that you like, that we like to do, and that you like us to do, God. Thank you, God. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Thank you, Madison, for that prayer. So what I'm going to do now is put a song on. And I want you guys to be prayerful. Listen to the message in the song. The song is called Seasons. And I want everyone to know that everything happened in season. That's why God made summer, winter, spring, and fall. You know, because, you know, there's seasons in our lives. And right now we may be in a season that, you know, we are not so happy with, but it's not the beginning of the end. Because that this season has nothing to do with the next. You may feel like you're going through, but sometimes it's only God bringing you to where he wants you to be. Seasons come and seasons go. And the title of this record is Season. Listen to the song, and after that, we're going to go straight into the lesson. Be blessed.
Your time. This is Walter Hawkins, everybody.
And that song was It's Your Season. You know, God has a season prepared for every phase of our lives. You know, and sometimes we're not in position to walk into that new season because of the things that we may be doing or the things we're not doing. And the message tonight about the tongue, I want to tell you that, you know, if you don't guard your tongue or be serious about the things that you say and how you say it and why you say it, you could be hindering your season. So as we go into the lesson tonight, we have a lot of more callers called in. So I want them to know that the title of this lesson is The Words That You Speak Can Make You or Break You. It's coming from James, the third chapter, the entire third chapter, which is verses 1 through 18. I hope everybody had a chance to read the scriptures that we would expound on tonight. And as always, I want to give you a little background about something, the person who wrote the book, who he wrote it to, why he wrote it, or whatever. So tonight I'm going to talk about James just for a little while. You see, James is the author of the Epistle of James. And I want you to know the word epistle is a letter. There are many and several epistles in a book, and we know that Paul wrote the most epistles because he wrote 13. You see, he wrote it somewhat between A.D. 50 and A.D. 60. The reason I'm saying this, because I always want you to put your mind into the place, and everything is usually focused on Jesus. If we know that Jesus started his ministry at the age of 30 and was crucified at the age of 33, so at that time, that date would have been A.D. 30. So we are saying that James wrote this book between 50 and 60 A.D., so you could do the math and see how much time had passed after Jesus died that James wrote this book. That'll help put you in the place because, you know, if you take time and see what was happening in the New Testament around them days, you could understand why James decided to write what he wrote. You see, James identified himself by name. He simply describes himself as a servant of God and of Jesus Christ. That's in James 1:1. You see, this letter deals with Christian ethics more than Christian theology. In other words, James was talking about just do things the right way. You know, not so much based on circumcision or culture or Judaism or the law, but he was telling you Christian ethics is important. Its theme is an outworking of faith. You know, he said faith, and he wants you to have external evidence of internal conversion. And he says faith without works is dead. We see James was the son of Mary and Joseph. Mary, the mother of Jesus and Joseph. So that makes James, Jesus' half-brother, because James and Jesus had the same mother, but not the same father. You see, Joseph was James' father, but the Almighty God was Jesus' father. Hallelujah. You know, I could also tell you that Joseph had other brothers. He had a brother named Joseph, Simon, Judas, three other brothers, and Jude. Jude and Judas, I got to look that up to see if that's the same person because they didn't say Jude here, and I know Jude was his brother. I just saw that. But Joseph, Simon, Jude, and they had sisters. You know, a lot of people in the Catholic faith believe that Mary didn't have no other children. But it is not so. You see, in the gospel, James is mentioned a couple of times. But at that time, he misunderstood Jesus' ministry, and he was not a believer. Well, what you're saying, Sister Diane, even though James grew up in a house with Jesus, and then Jesus began his ministry, and James knew and heard about it, I'm sure, but yet he didn't believe that Jesus was the Messiah or would be the Messiah. So he was still practicing Judaism. But you see, on one day after Jesus had died and resurrected, he came and showed himself, his resurrected body, to James. And then James believed. You know, James grew in Christ and accepted Christ and started going all of the way. And he became a leader of the church, and they called him a pillar. It is believed that James was martyred about A.D. 62. Now, I'm giving you this date. Now, they say the writing was between 50 and 60 A.D., and by 62 A.D., they believe he was killed for standing up for righteous sake. Hallelujah. Although there is no biblical record of this death. You see, his conversions give testimony to the overwhelming power that came from being a witness of Christ's resurrection. Y'all got to remember why Christ rose from the dead, because he said if God could resurrect from the dead, then we could be resurrected when Jesus returned. Also, worth of notice, take a notice to this. James was just full of humility. He never used his position as Jesus' blood relative as a basis for authority. Rather, James portrayed himself as a servant of Jesus, nothing more. In short, James was a gracious leader through whom the church was richly blessed. So when we look at the life of James, and we see how he didn't believe Christ while he was here on earth, but he decided to believe him once he saw him resurrected, you know, what does this say? This lets us know that God does not allow our past to dictate our future. You keep that in mind, because some people beat themselves daily about what they did, should have did, shouldn't have did, how they did it, or why they did it. But, you know, we right here, right now, today, the Bible tells us there's no condemnation. And we have to start believing that. You know, God is not through with none of us yet. We are all under construction. Our Christian life is not a destination. It's a journey that we'll have to experience until the day we die. That's why I always say, y'all, please be patient with me, because God is not through with me yet. And I never say y'all, I say us, because we all are on the same journey. Some is, you know, have different things to overcome, you know, and some is dealing with something, but we all are on the same path, that straight and narrow road that should get narrower and narrower by the day. And if we go in our scriptures, James 1, 2, and 3, James 1 and 2, and I'll read it, and it reads as follows. And I'm going to read the first and the second verse. They say, my brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greatest condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in words, the same is a perfect man and able to bridle his whole body. I knew that could have maybe threw some people off, but when they were saying, therefore be not many members, they saying like being teachers or someone with all the knowledge. It's saying do not give yourself an air of teacher or an imposer, judger, you know, someone who think they know everything. Don't be like that, because if you be like that, when it's all said and done, you're going to get the greatest condemnation, because God say if you knew it all, why you didn't do it all? Hallelujah. Come on now, y'all. But rather speak with humility and spirit of a learner. I tell y'all all the time, I don't know everything. I ask y'all to press the button. I ask for comments and even for correction, because, you know, the Holy Ghost give me something and give you something, and if we put it all together, we could become complete. But he said, use the spirit of humility and a spirit of a learner. Don't speak as if you know everything and only you know what's best for everyone. You know, they have people, they figure, they done figured out everything everybody need to be. Yes, you do have some facts and truth about what somebody may be doing, and you know what you're saying may be best for them, but it don't count, because what you feel is not what they feel, and only what they feel is going to matter. And then everybody, you know, got to get it when they get it. Your job is to work with, be, you know, show humility and keep pressing and praying and, you know, and speaking with a tongue of love that they may get it. You know, do not censor one another as if all must be brought to your standards. Who told you what you do and how you do it is so good? And if you want to be true to yourself, you can remember back when those standards wasn't your standards, and when people was trying to tell you, you didn't listen. So the one you talking to, give them time to catch up. You know, how our faith grows, it does not have a mathematical system. You know, it's not governed by, you know, after 360 days, this way you have to be. This may be where you should be, but it may not be where you are. You see, our judging will make our own judgment once we receive it most severe. It is always easier to see the faults of others because you are on the outside looking in. But watch this. While your faults, even though they may be right in your face, seem to go unnoticed. Come on, y'all. We know that. What the scriptures say, you can see the splinter in someone outside and can't see the mold in your own. Being many masters is a spirit of high mightiness. Come on, y'all. You know somebody who know everything? You can't tell them nothing. It's a spirit. You may begin to think more of yourself than you should. Those who are curious to spy out the faults of others and arrogant and passing sentence and judging upon them shall receive a greater condemnation. If you judge more, you're going to be judged more. Hallelujah. You must remember, we are all sinners saved by grace, and there is no bigger or smaller sin. Sin is sin. If we take the time, watch this, if we take the time and think more of our own mistakes and offenses, we will be less apt to judge other people. You see, he that offends not in word will not only prove himself a sincere Christian, but a very much advanced and improved Christian, because they have mastered controlling of their tongue, which show growth. You know, if you still have the conversation now you had 10 years ago, something ain't right. If you only speak about certain things, that's maybe worldly, something ain't right. But you see, for the grace and wisdom which enabled someone who could control a tongue will enable him also to rule his actions. If we look at verse 3, 4, and 5, it says, "Behold, we put a bit in a horse's mouth that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold, also the ship, which though they are so great and are driven in fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, wheresoever the governor listen," that's saying whoever controlled it, wherever they wanted to go. "Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasted great things. Behold, how much a matter a little fire kindled." So what you're saying about this, Sister Diane? These scriptures let us know that something yet so small can have a lot of control over something much bigger. You see, the bit in a horse's mouth give the rider the ability to make the horse do whatever he wants. A ship which is so great and powerful when driven by the mighty wind still obey the order of a small helm controlled by its operator. You see, as the helm is a very small part of the ship, so is the tongue a very small part of the body. But the right governing of the helm or the rudder will steer and turn the ship as the operator pleases. And the right management of your tongue can be greatness in governing your whole body. You know, when I played the song early and the Holy Ghost, you know, showed me how the tongue could keep you out of position and make you miss your season and the blessings that for you in that season, you know, we have to learn to control our tongue. When we learn to control our tongue, we begin to learn how to control our whole body, which will result in our action and our deeds. You see, the tongue is capable of doing great deal of good, a great deal of hurt. An unruly tongue is one of the greatest evil. It is compared to a little fire placed among a great deal of combustible matter, which soon rises a flame and consume all before it. Talking about the tongue. You know, words can hurt, especially words of hate, and do damage that sometimes seem irreversible. You see, once your words come out of your mouth, you can't take them back. What comes up sometimes come out. You know, sometimes we are asked to ignore the harsh or hurtful things people say are due to us. You know, some people say things to you as if you don't have feelings. That everything they say to you anyway and how they say it is all right because, you know, maybe they think you just all right with everything because maybe you don't respond to them the way you feel when it was said. You know, but then people will come around and they say, oh, you know that's the way that person is. Well, tonight I came to tell you that no matter how they are, it doesn't make it right, and it's not okay. You see, and if a person has been that way all of their lives, and maybe older, it's a greater problem because there is no Christian growth. No one is afforded the privilege to go around and speak to people any kind of way they want to because who they think they are. You know, sometimes people say, well, I could say anything because I'm the mama. Being a mama does not justify the tone and the way you address your children. And it's not right. And if they've been that way all their lives, and people, sometimes people want you to understand and accept them that way, I came to tell you it's not right. And they have no Christian growth. Because if, you know, and I'm sure plenty of people could tell you your, the way you talk to people, your tone, your expression, and these things, you know, and so you done heard it before, but yet you could constantly do it. It's because you want to do it. But I tell you tonight, it's not right. There are things that has been said many years ago, and it still holds the same sting as if it happened yesterday. Words have destroyed relationships, caused wars, destroyed homes, and has broken up family. But on the other hand, and I told you, words can have a bad or good effect, but you see, on the good hand, words of love have built relationships, stopped wars. They can create a loving home and has mended broken families. But we must be careful of the words we say and sometimes how we say them. You know, it's not always what you say, but sometimes how you say it. You know, your tone or the volume of voice you use. You know, we have to be gentle and we have to be peaceable. And I ain't never said y'all, I said we. And I went to Proverbs and looked for something because, you know, Proverbs is a book of wisdom. And I found Proverbs 18 and 21, and it says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. And tonight I want to ask you to ask yourself the question, are you using your words to build someone up or tear someone down? If I go to the sixth verse, and I'm going to read the 6, 7, and 8, they say, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. Look at this, y'all. You don't think the tongue is dangerous? You don't think you need to evaluate yourself and your words, how you say them, and you know, and then, you know, it would be a sin and a shame that you pick certain people to use a certain, you know, way you speak to them and the tone you speak to them. But then when it's someone else, you speak different. You see, when I read the first verse, when he's talking about being masters, would get the most condemnation. You see, if you know how to speak good to Sally, but you could only speak bad to Mary, you know it's wrong. Or when you get around Mary, you don't care the tone you use, how you say it, and the expression you say it, and the words you use. You know it's wrong. Because now you're choosing and having to respect the person to say what you want to say, evidently, because if it's coming out, it's coming from the heart of the mind, and it's in you. So the things that you do when you're speaking to Mary is a part of you. And anybody see you talking to Mary that way going to evaluate you for how you're doing that. And it still could keep you out of position for your season. You see, the scripture 6, 7, and 8 say, the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members that it defiles the whole body and set it on the fire, the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. Y'all know about the tongue? You better watch your speech. Come on now, y'all. God is trying to tell us something. The reason I'm saying that, because I couldn't get the program together this week. I didn't know and hear from God what he wanted me to speak on. And on last night, one of the listeners that's on the program tonight called and asked what scriptures we was coming from. And you know, she sent it on a text, and I didn't answer the text because I had no scripture. But after talking to her, God gave me this about the tongue. And then I published the scriptures last night. So I didn't go looking for this, but it came looking to me. They said a tongue can defile the whole body, and it sets the course of nature. For every kind of beast and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tame and has been tame of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. This the Bible. This is James talking. The Bible wasn't written by man, but inspired by God. God wanted this in here for us so that we could grow in grace and in knowledge and be better. And we could start speaking the way we should be speaking so that we could bring people in and not push them out. You know, Matthew 15:11 says, it's not that which goes into the mouth that defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth that defileth the man. That's deep, y'all. It's not what you put in, it's what come out. There is such an abundance of sin in the tongue that it is called a world of iniquity. Scripture. How many and dreadful flames does it kindle? So is the tongue among the members that it defiles the whole body. And the whole body is often drawn into sin and guilt by the tongue. The snares into which men are sometimes led by the tongue are insuperable to themselves and destructive to others. It set on fire the course of nature. So what did that mean? Here we see that the affairs of mankind and society are often thrown into confusion, and all is on a flame by the tongues of men. You know, there's no age of this world, no any condition of life, personal, private, or public, that has not been affected by the power of a tongue. And it sets on fire the fire of hell. Hell has more to do with prompting the fire of the tongue than men generally is aware of. You know, you say, God, Satan, I rebuke you for this. I rebuke you for that. Have you ever rebuked him for what he was doing or did with your tongue? Do you know you have to watch Satan so that you could control your speech? It's designed that way by the devil, that men's tongues are in flame. The devil is expressly called a liar, a murderer, an accuser of the brother. Come on now. We know what Satan is all about, you know. That's what the Bible says about Satan. Satan is all of these things. And he is designing your mind to control your tongue, that he could have his way with you. No man can tame the tongue without supernatural grace and assistance. But I'm not telling you that it's impossible, but it is extremely difficult, which therefore will require great watchfulness and pain and prayer to keep it in due order. And sometimes all of that is not enough, for it is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. It's been since the beginning of time. It haven't changed and it won't change. God says no man can tame the tongue. But what he's asking us is to be aware of how we speak to one another, the things we decide to say about one another. Come on, y'all. I'm going to read 9 and 10. It says, wherewith bless we God, even the Father, and wherewith curse we men. What is saying? You bless God with your mouth, and then you turn around and curse man, which are made after the solitude, the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceeded blessings and cursing. My brother, my brethren, these things ought not to be. Scripture, y'all, not Diane. You see, we are to think of the use we make of our tongues in religion and in the service of God. The same tongue you use to bless God, you use to curse someone else. The same tongue you use to bless the Lord, you use to bring someone else down. You may use your mouth for gossip when you should be using it for encouragement. Your words from your mouth often give evidence to others who you truly are. You know, you say one thing, but you do something else. If we bless God as our Father, who we have never seen, this should teach us to speak well of and kindly to those who bear his image. Words said in a church have turned people away for life because it hurt. It hurt them. And I wouldn't want to be the one that said something, and it may not have been as crucial as I would think, but to the person it said. When you say words out of your mouth, you don't know what position someone is in, what a person may be going through or fighting, and they take those words and use it, and they step back, don't go, whatever. Watch your words, because words has been said to people in church, and they left the church for life. You know, words have been spoken by parents to their children over and over, and has ruined their lives and caused them to think less of themselves. You'll never be nothing. Or taking them having favoritism before you know, between your children. This one is pretty. You know, this one have long hair, this one not, this one have good hair, you know. What all the world tell you to use for standards for love. But the Bible say we ought to love. We owe no man but to love him. And we should love everyone and love them equally without having a respect of person. You know, words spoken in marriages has caused their spouse to think that they have no value and begin to feel no self-worth. You see, the scripture that I read, and it was in the 10th verse, the end of the 10th verse, it said, these things ought not to be. You see, God knew the obstacle we would face with our tongue. That's why God said he don't just take what come out of the mouth. He looks at the heart. But today I want to tell you, we're not afforded the privilege where we can see the heart like God. So we can only hear what you say. Remember this. Sometimes it's not what you said, but how you said it. And sometimes it's not what you said, but how the person perceived it. And then we say, some of them say, well, I didn't mean it that way, so charge it to my head and not to my heart, because that wasn't the intent. But when it comes up, it comes out. It's amazing how some people who can say anything and everything about someone else, and when they hear that something has been said about them, they can't take it and ready to go to war. And they hold on to that forever with no forgiveness. They can't take it. But if you ever said anything about anybody, Think about it. And if you never said anything about anybody, maybe then you could feel that way. But I'm asking yourself to examine yourself today. And watch this. We say a lot of things about a lot of people, and just because they didn't hear it doesn't make it right. Choose what you're going to use your tongue for. Be a representative of God. In 11 and 12 says, do a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? Either a vine, figs. Figs don't grow on no vine, they grow on a tree. So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. What is telling us? What it's saying is there are certain things you should not expect. You can't plant a fig tree and expect olive berries. You can't say or do anything, do the things of the world, and expect not to be perceived worldly. What seeds you plant is what fruits you will receive. And there are no exceptions to the rule. You can't do it any kind of way and expect to get different results. There are no exceptions to the rules. And there's no wrong way to do right. Come on now, y'all. There's no exceptions to the rule. What you sow is what you will receive. And I want to tell people, some people I know don't want to sow nothing. They don't want to do good. They don't want to be good. They don't want to be of service. They don't want to do stewardship. They don't want to do none of that. You got to stop looking for things you didn't sow. What you say is who you are, good or bad. And I stop planting hatred and expect to receive love. And if you want friends, you must first become friendly. If you want to receive, you must learn to give. And at the end of the day, what you gave is what you get. And you are the common denominator. Come on, y'all. And now I'm on 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, and 18. And the scriptures read, who is a wise man and endureth with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his work with meekness and wisdom. A wise man, watch his tongue. I ain't say he attain it. He girdles it. You know, and if you could watch it 90% of the day and you mess up 10%, but without watching it, you might be, you know, doing it right 10%, messing up 90%. Evaluate yourself. Look in the mirror. But if, I'm on 14, but if ye have bitter envy and strife in your heart, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descended not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. Scripture, y'all, not dying. 16, for where envy and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. I know people telling me all the time, I don't speak to my mama. I ain't talk to my daughter. That's envy and strife. And I'm sure it was all, in communication and the words that were said that caused the division. Come on now, y'all. Don't tell me your tongue ain't going to keep you from a season and it's going to keep you from your blessing. The little bitty thing in your mouth. the scripture says, has a world of iniquities. Hallelujah. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, I'm at age 17, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruit, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Don't be a hypocrite and don't pick and choose who you want to speak kind to or about. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that makes peace. If you're going to sow peace, you're going to get peace. If you got confusion in your life, you got to watch what you're passing off. And so as a man speak it, so is he. Remember I said earlier, it's life and death. You know, you become what you say you are. You know, and some people find proud to say, I bet you I told her. And go around bragging about it. Ignorance. You see, a knowledge along with wisdom is what lets your light so shine. Your words should always be a light in a dark world. God gave us the commission. Jesus told us, go ye therefore in all the nations and help the people to come in so that he could come back. You know, Jesus said he's not coming back till everybody had a opportunity to hear the word, and you have so many people that has been assigned to you to hear the word, but you got to be a light. You got to help to bring them in and not bring them out. Come on. Come on now. Your word should always be a light in a dark world. If your conversation is full of envy and strife, your heart has no glory or truth in, and there's no truth in you. And not from above, but if you do have that kind of heart, it's all worldly. Can anyone tell who you belong to by your words? You know, an old lady used to tell me all the time, and I didn't want to receive it then, but I think about it all the time. She told me, you can catch more flies with honey than vinegar. And I understand now it's saying you can win people to your side more easily by gently persuading and flattery than by hostile confrontation. You see, your light should draw people to Christ, not away. Some people who confess to be a Christian, conversations and actions are so worldly filled with confusion and evil work that some unsaved people think that Christianity is not working or worth it. They can't see the God in you. Your words should be lifting up, not tearing down. The wisdom of God is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and entreated. That's what the scriptures say. I had to read it again because, you know, we're fixing the clothes, and I want you to know what they say. The wisdom of God is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and entreated, full of mercy and good fruit. They say, show me your fruit, not I can tell you your faith. Or show me your faith, and you better have some fruit. We're not doing right to be saved, but because Jesus has saved us and paid the ransom for us, we should want to do good. And our light so shine with our service. If you're not servicing anyone, you don't have no light. If your conversation is not right, you don't have no light. You see, they say the wisdom of God is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, no respect of person. If you sow righteousness and peace, you will sow peace. If you're looking for peace in your life, you have to see, have you been a part of giving peace? Because whatever you sow, that's what you're going to also reap. We have to remember that. And as I close tonight, I want you to know that wisdom is a gift from God. You can't earn it. You can't go to school to receive it. And just because your mother have it don't mean you have it. You know, if you look around, you know, you ain't never saw anybody, you know, you ask them what classes they're taking in college and they say wisdom. Because there's no degree of wisdom. You can't get a doctrine in wisdom. It only comes from God. And you can only receive it by asking. And remember what the word of God says. Those who have not, because they ask not. And that's our program for tonight. And if anyone would like to make comments, concerns, add to the lesson, you know, you could press the one button on your phone and you could comment. Now it's 9:27. We have 3 minutes before 9:30 because, you know, I like to always end at 9:30. But if someone would like to make a comment, you could do so at this time. Caller 905-7963, your mic is open.
Hey, Ms. Diane, good evening to you. This is Pam, and I just want to say, praise God, first of all, and thank you for bringing us together another Wednesday. And I just want to let you know that I'm truly inspired. I'm glad that you did cover with, you know, it's not what always what we take in that defiles us, but what comes out of our mouth, and that we should be kind to one another always. And I just want to let you know that you are inspiration. I just thank you and thank God for allowing you to be with us every Wednesday, for everyone who come here every Wednesday to hear the word. I just want to say thank you and hello to everybody tonight. That's all. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Sister Pam. Thank you for that encouragement, and thank you for keep tuning in. If anyone else would like to say something, but at this time, I could give a praise report because, you know, we've been praying for a lot of people on our prayer list, and I want to let you know that the guy that we was praying for, my neighbor, the guy that was hit by the car, around Christmas, his name was Marvin Brown, and I say we call him Scooby. He was treated in a hospital and placed in a nursing home. He left the nursing home today, and he came by my house in a cab. So it appears that he's mighty fine. And, you know, I want to just tell you, you know, I don't want to tell his business or tell his whole story, but Scooby, even with the accident that he had, it broke his legs, it crushed his bones, it broke his rib, it bust his head. The car dragged him for blocks. You know, and Scooby caught a cab and came to my house today. So I want to just let you know that God is a good God. And we have to pray for everybody, not just when they things is going on, but we have to pray for everybody. So I want you to keep in mind, Sister Elise Ott is preparing to go to surgery. So keep lift her up in prayer. Sister McBride, you know, is a smart lady. She asks for prayer for her family and her sons all the time because we need to be covered in prayer, not all the time. So not saying that just the people we have on the list we need to pray for, but we should always pray for one another in season and out of season. Daryl Terrence, we call him Big D. We want to keep lifting him up. Gladys Phyllis as well, Bonita Washington. I want to let y'all know our sister in Christ, Sister Cynthia, is really dealing with her issue right now. And And let's keep her prayerful because we've been praying for her from the beginning. We have another member, Henry Lafayette family, asked for prayer. But we want to keep praying, and if you have someone you want to add to the list that we could have a name, you could press the one button and name, put that name on the list as well. I also have another thing I would like to speak to you guys about. I'm going to take 1 minute. We're going to go ahead and close so you won't be after the 8:30 hour. But there's a young man who lives here in the Ninth Ward, and he has a single parent, a mother. He's in seventh grade, and he will be honored in Florida because he's in seventh grade. He took an ACT score, and he scored 17. And in a reading part, he scored a 21, and it brought people took notice of it, and they got him to apply in the engineering class at Duke University for the summer, and he was accepted. And they gave some money to take care of the expenses, but the mother didn't have it all. So besides asking for prayer for her son, if anybody would like to, you know, donate anything for the help this young man to be able to do what he wants to do. If you call me offline at 504-289-9501, I could give you the mother's number. You know, it's not that, you know, I'm saying everybody, what somebody should do or not do, but it was a petition that came, and I'm saying it, and, you know, you could decide to do what you want to do. But that's one young man. He's in seventh grade. His name is Garan, and he lives in the lower Ninth Ward. His mother has, I think, three children, and she's taking care of her children. You know, she's a single parent. And he's going to go to Florida to receive the award for being noticed. And then in May, I think he has to go to Duke University and be in a summer program for engineering. And I think that's a wonderful thing. We all say that we want our black youth, young men, to do better, and this is an opportunity for this child. But not all opportunities that come your way, you sometimes can afford them. But God always have a ram in the bush. That's our program for tonight. I pray that the Holy Ghost gave you illumination and revelation, and that the word of God that went forward is something that you could use. Right now, I'm going to do the closing prayer with a benediction included, and we're going to end our program tonight. But before I do that, I want to let you know that God loves you, and so do I. And I pray for each and every one of you individually, if I know who you are, and collectively. And I'm asking the same that you do for me. God loves you, and so do I. But dear Heavenly Father, as we come to an end of our program tonight, Lord, I could say thank you. I could say hallelujah. I could say praise unto your name. Lord, not only did I have a word for the people, but I got a word for myself. And I'm going to use the word that I studied and apply it to my life, dear God, so my life could be different. Hallelujah. I'm asking that you look down upon our list on the sick list and look down on, you know, on our list, and different people have different needs, dear God, some sickness, some, you know, financial. But, Lord, you say in all things through prayer and supplication, make your request known, and that's what I'm doing tonight, no more, no less. Lord, I'm asking that you guide us and protect us into all righteousness and truth, that we become better Christians, that we could grow in our faith, learn, teach us how to hold on to our faith more. Dear God, Lord, we can't make it without you, and because of you, we are who we are. And because of that, we say thank you. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen, and thank God. And my prayer is that we grow in grace in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And let everyone say amen. That's our program for tonight. And if the Lord say the same, I will be back with you on next Wednesday. And and we'll hear what God has to say to us. So God bless you. God keep you until we meet again. Good night and be blessed.